tonight. All right? Would you open your Bible with me to the book of Acts? One verse tonight, Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. And what a verse it is. By the way, Acts is a church book. I'm a church man. Are you a church person? And I'm a church person because Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, we believe the church is God's ordained means, his method of getting the gospel out and bringing people to Jesus. The book of Acts is not only a church book, it is a Holy Spirit moving book. The Spirit of God is on the move. And I want to say to you, God is still on the move. The book of Acts is a book of action. That's literally where the name comes from, Acts. And frankly, I think for too long, God's people in our country have been spectators when they should have been participants. And if you think I'm talking about politics, I'm not. In fact, if we had done a better job with our gospel work, this country wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. And the only answer is the message of Jesus. So when you come to Acts, you find, I think, a great template for us to follow. And here's the verse, Acts 5 and verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Read the verse with me, would you please? And I want you to read it with lots of enthusiasm. Ready? Here we go. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Read it to that sinner you testified to a minute ago. Turn and look at the person next to you. I want you to read it to them. Ready? Here we go. Ready? And daily. Now, you'll preach better if you get your preaching finger out, so point at them. Let's try it one more time. Ready? Here we go. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I'm brainwashing you tonight. It's a good brainwashing. It's the washing of water of the Word. I want you to get this verse in your mind and heart. It's power-packed. Somebody said, what's your all's plan? We don't have a plan. Oh, there's lots of moving parts. But the only plan we really have is God's plan. We're just getting into what God's already doing. This verse is God's gospel plan. There's a lot in this verse. Everybody look at verse 42. And notice there's a declaration. The Bible says they were teaching and preaching, not a thing, not a system, not even a church. They were teaching and preaching what? Jesus Christ. Now, I believe everybody ought to have a church home. But people don't need a church first. They need Jesus first. And that's why this effort is not just about one church. It is the message of Jesus. And it must be declared with power, with the Holy Spirit anointing. And then look at the verse again. There's not only a declaration, there's a continuation. Now, the Bible says two things. They did it daily, and they ceased not. That's pretty good, isn't it? Sounds to me like this wasn't just something they did, it's who they were. There's a way of life in it. In the next few weeks, we're going to set aside certain days. We have a Saturday set aside, a big gospel day. And we're going to go out door to door, trying to hit every house. I like that. But I want to say to you, if it stops there, we've missed it. Because God never expected his witnesses to witness occasionally. He expected them to witness constantly. There's a third thing in the verse. There is a multiplication here. Notice what the Bible says. They did it in two places, in the temple, and even the conjunctions revelation, in every what? House. So watch this. We don't have a temple because this is the temple of the Holy Ghost now. But the parallel to that would be the public meeting house where we worship God today. How many of you think in your church somebody ought to preach the gospel? How many of you think at the convention center next month somebody ought to preach the gospel? Okay, but watch this, please. It is not just to be done in the public place by a preacher when there's a large group. Look at the verse. It is to be done in what? Every house. And the only way it can be done in every house is every one of us have to be preachers of the gospel. In fact, do you remember the last time we met at the convention center? Some of you were there. I spoke to you from Acts 17 on daily in the marketplace. Do you remember that? That means the place of business. Well, today we're going a little deeper, and it's getting more personal and even more practical. It's not just when you're out there in the marketplace conducting business. Look, please, it's your subdivision. It's your trailer park. It's your apartment complex. It's your neighbors. The sad reality is many Christians do not even know the people that live on their street. I'm under conviction. We got a new family moving in to our neck of the woods, up our holler. And you know what I think? I think maybe God put them there so we could be a witness to them. You know why? Because God wants all people to be saved. Paul wrote to Timothy and said that he would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Peter wrote that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I still believe God loves all people. That Jesus died for every man. That every human being deserves a clear presentation of the gospel. And the only way that's going to happen is if those who know will tell those who do not know. So we've come to the real crux. There's not only in this verse a declaration and a continuation and a multiplication, there's a saturation. Here's the word. And daily in the temple and in, what's the next word, church? Every house. Every soul must hear the gospel. Every man, every woman, every child. If I said to you, who do you want to see saved? Christian people ought to say, we want to see everybody saved. Okay, but wait a minute. This is a book of action. Who are you personally going after right now for Christ? Recently, who have you said, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you what the Lord means to me. We just printed 100,000 of these. How many of you know there's not even that many people that live in this town? Somebody said, why are you printing so much? Very simple, saturation. Today, Brother Fox, dealing with a television station in town that's doing some advertising for us, and he handed her one of these, and she said, oh, somebody already gave me that. Turns out our treasurer, Jim Wood, the banker, has already been talking to her about the Lord. I like that. Matter of fact, I hope everybody in this town gets a whole handful of these between now and September. I hope they know there's something going on, and somebody is excited about the message of the gospel. It's time that our area that we love so much gets saturated for Christ. It's interesting. In Acts 17, the Bible referred to these men as these that have turned the world upside down. Wouldn't it be glorious if somebody said, I don't know what's going on in southern West Virginia, but you can't go anywhere without somebody talking to you about Jesus. I mean, I don't know what's going on in that town, but it just seems like everybody's talking about spiritual things all of a sudden. That'd be a glorious thing, wouldn't it? Read Colossians 1 when you get home tonight. The Bible says that every creature that was under heaven in the days of the early apostles heard the message of the gospel. Listen to me. If a handful of believers could turn the world upside down and get the gospel to every creature under heaven, don't you think this many Christians with this much resource and ability ought to say, by the grace of God, we're going to make sure every house in this area gets the message of Jesus Christ? It's the only way we'll work, church. I said to a woman today on an airplane, she was a Christian, and I said to her something about what I was coming back to do tonight and what our churches were working at, and you know what she said to me? She said, that'll really be great, sir. She said, if you can get them to come to hear the preaching. And I said to her, you're exactly right. I'm going to tell you something real profound. You ready? You can't preach the gospel to people who aren't there. So in September, would you like to see a bunch of people saved? Let's vote on it. How many of you like to see a bunch of people saved? Then you got to get lost people there. But I'm not even stopping just with the meeting. Here's what I believe. I believe that between tonight and when the meeting starts, we could have more people saved in the community, in houses, in conversations, over a hamburger, standing by the mailbox, as we have in those three nights of gospel preaching put together. Do you know why? Because this is God's way. God's way was never open the church door and let all the lucky sinners come find us. God's way was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to, what's that word? Every creature. And some things never change. Before we pray, I got on a flight the other day, going to a meeting, and a lady came and sat down next to me. Did you know preachers get nervous too? It is easier to speak to a crowd than to an individual. And Dr. Anderson travels all the time, and I always try to strike up a conversation with whoever I'm sitting next to, try to at least make an entry point for the gospel. And so this woman comes and sits down, and I'm thinking, you know how you think, where am I going to start, you know? And I said to her, are you from South Florida, or you're just visiting there? She turned to me and she said, my mother-in-law died 3 days ago. And she said, I'm going there because we're burying her. And before I could speak and say anything else, she lit up and she said, but I got good news. She said, 3 days before she died, my husband and I got to lead her to Jesus. And I thought to myself, she didn't know who I was. She didn't know I was a preacher. She didn't know I was going to talk to her about the Lord. And I said, I want you to tell me more about that. She said she's lost, just lost, and never would listen to us. And she said, but 3 days before she entered eternity, standing by her bed, we got to give her the gospel. And she said she got saved. About that time, I had my Bible out on my tray. A guy got up across the aisle. He stepped across the aisle, put his hand on my shoulder. He said, you're reading a good book there, sir. He started talking about the Lord. I mean, we almost had a revival meeting at 30,000 feet. Then it really got good. The woman said to me, she said, when we finish in Florida, she said, we're going to California. I said, what are you going to California for? She said, because my family lives there. She said, my husband and I made up our mind. We're not going to let any of our family die without us trying to have led them to Jesus. And she said, we don't know how long we'll be out there, but she said, we intend to go and speak to every one of them and try to bring them to Christ. And I got to tell you, here I'm thinking I'm a witness to her. I got under such conviction. I thought, Lord, forgive me. I mean, we throw a track at somebody and done our duty, and here's somebody that says, we're going to make sure everybody we're responsible for, everybody in our path has heard the gospel, had an opportunity to come to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. If we could get that heart, we'd see many people saved. And daily, in the temple, and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head?